You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sound Constellations is an exhibition currently on at Te Uru Gallery. It draws on sound-oriented works in the Chartwell collection to map relationships between artists across time and space. The exhibition also marks the 50th anniversary of the Chartwell collection. I spoke with curator at Te Uru Gallery, James Gatt, about Milk Stars and the process of curation. I'd like to ask a bit about the inspiration for Milk Stars, Sound Constellations, and the thinking behind the exhibition title, which is quite intriguing.
Thanks, Beth, kia ora. So Milk Stars, the title itself is derived from a record that was produced in 1996 by John Nixon and Julian Dashbaugh. Who were great friends and collaborators and really important artists to their respective contemporary art ecologies in Aotearoa and Australia. And so in 1996, they produced a record called Milk Star, which they actually recorded in a gallery, in the basement of a gallery called CBD Gallery, which was a formative ARI, or artist-run initiative, in Sydney in the 90s. And I thought it was such a wonderful metaphor for the way that artists come together to produce work and therefore to produce contemporary art histories. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting way of mapping a collection that's, you know, had a number of shows made that draws on works from the collection. And it linked really nicely to a conversation that I'd had with Rob Gardner when I was first asked to do this exhibition. I asked to meet with Rob, and he spoke emphatically about the relationships he's had in the art world. Mm. And I realised that, just like me as a curator and so many of the artists that I've come to know and love over the years, it's really about the relationships, about the collective, about collaboration. It's a social thing, the art world, and it's really important for that reason. And so I thought sound was a really interesting metaphor for that. And I've decided to dedicate this exhibition, or at least the nucleus of the exhibition is dedicated to John Nixon and Julian Dashbaugh, who are the most deeply collected artists in the collection. So it was a no-brainer to work with them. And I thought, well, what they really represent is collaboration. They represent generosity to the kind of the wider art community. And they were interlocutors. So I kind of combined all of those aspects, my conversation with Rob, the collaboration between John and Julian, and kind of to hone in on this idea of sound via this record that they produced together. John and Julian went on to produce many more records together and also with other artists after that under the record label Circle Records. And so we've got a few of them on display in this exhibition.
Awesome. Yeah, sounds like the cousin of Black Star, Bowie's last album.
Oh, sure.
Can you tell us a bit about the process of putting the exhibition together and the people who were involved?
Sure. So it was quite a lengthy process. You know, this exhibition is drawing on works that are in the Chartwell collection. The Chartwell collection, it was established in 1974, so it's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, hence having the exhibition. It's been a really important collection for contemporary art. They've collected deeply into contemporary art of this country, Aotearoa, but also Australia and the wider Moana Oceania region.
Yeah.
And the process of putting it together, as you may know, the collection's been held in Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki since 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the works are being generously loaned by Toyo Tamaki. So they're a major lending partner on the show. So it was about working with Gabriella, who works in conservation and registration at Toyo Tamaki, Sue Gardner, who's the co-director of Chartwell, working with them to think about the collection, what works we might be able to access, and kind of developing a curatorial premise and really kind of taking it from there. So I've been working on this exhibition since I first started in my role at Te Uru, which was last year. I've now been in the role for a year, and so it was the first project that came across my desk. And we had to make decisions quickly because the loan process takes time, but I'm really glad with where we landed, and I'm really appreciative to all the people that were involved, which is, you know, not just Sue, but the wider team at Chartwell, and of course the wider team at Auckland Art Gallery as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any key themes that come to mind that may have driven the project or arisen during its making?
Yeah, key themes. Well, it's interesting because when you're doing a collection hang, it's quite easy because the works are existing and a lot of the works, and especially the artist practices, kind of tend to linger in your mind, and so we can make strict associations as curators about practices and works based on how they've previously been shown or how they've previously been historicized. It was important for me to take this approach of a new way of thinking about how we might map art history. So one of the key themes for me, which is an ongoing interest of mine, is lineages in art history and how artists connect to each other and speak to each other across time and place.
Yeah.
And so I was inspired by Brendan Joseph, who's an art historian, an idea that he has about the possibility of mapping art history via artist orbits rather than mapping it, you know, according to kind of strict chronological historicizing. So I thought that was an interesting approach for this, and there's no denying the relationships. I mean, some of the quieter relationships that ended up coming through in the exhibition are, for example, you know, Shuwana Spong is in the exhibition. She has a work that's located not far from a Phil Dadson work, and she was very pleased about that because she was one of Phil Dadson's students. So there are these intergenerational conversations that are naturally occurring in the exhibition, but there are also conversations happening in the show between artists, you know, across greater lengths of time. So the Angelica Massetti video that's included in the show references John Cage, a John Cage work from the 1930s. Marco Fusinato's set of prints reference a score that was also written in the early 20th century. And there's lots of those references being made for those people that want to reach them, and including for those people that are not art nerds. I mean, we've tried to be generous about writing about these things because it's really important, I think, that the community understands that, you know, all art and so much of what we do as humans is derived from our sociality.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Is there anything else you'd like to add, James?
Well, it would be remiss not to just kind of, you know, I'm feeling quite sentimental about the show, actually, because I had the pleasure of working with John Nixon for many years before I started this role in Australia, and he had a big impact on the lives of so many people in the art world in Australia, artists and curators alike. He was a real doer. He was very proactive about things, and he didn't wait for opportunity to come his way. He was very proactive in seeking out opportunities and exhibited all over the world. He made relationships all over the world, and he brought them back to Australia with him. And so he kept the community alive and going, and he had a kind of optimism that was really infectious, and a way of talking about art that maintained its integrity, but also in a way that he maintained his own joy for what he did. And that's, I think, really important. And I understand, though I never met Julian Dashbaugh, I understand that Julian had a similar impact here in Aotearoa. And so I want to thank Marie Shannon and Sue Kramer, who are the custodians of the estates of Julian and John, for their ongoing support. They've also now become, you know, dear friends and people that I love talking to. Marie Shannon herself is an artist, a very respected practitioner. Sue Kramer is an esteemed curator. So it's just been lovely to kind of draw on these connections through these artists and to think about what that means for collecting contemporary art, but also how we display contemporary art, what the responsibility of generations of curators and artists is to come. Because it can be quite a daunting task when you're a younger curator like I am, and you're looking to the work of these people that you've grown up thinking about your entire life.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, I hope people will come out and see the exhibition. It's definitely something that's experiential. There's, of course, given the title, Sound Constellations in the Art World Collection, it's about sound and sound-oriented works. So not all works make literal sound, but they point to the idea of vibration and connection. A lot of the works are kind of sculptures that incorporate instruments, so musical instruments, but of course there are works that also produce sound. And so it's something that you need to come and experience live in the space, and I hope people will come and take their time with it. And I hope it makes people feel a little bit closer to the art world, which is a privilege for me. And yeah.
That was curator at Te Uru Gallery, James Gatt, chatting to me about Milk Stars, Sound Constellations, an exhibition currently on at Te Uru Gallery.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.